Happy Sabbath. What a blessing to be here for both Mercy and myself. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Joyce Che, and I used to attend this church when I first moved here to the Portland area. So I know I see a lot of familiar faces, and I see a lot of people that I don't know. So 2011, I moved here from California, and I actually was the health ministry leader here for a few years, and it was a blessing. I tell a lot of stories from my time here, actually, and it was through that experience that the Lord worked in my life in a very meaningful way. And so I really appreciate Jed and Elder Nan and Brother Kenny here, having me here, Dr. Lee and his wife. It's so nice to have you all. Thank you very much for inviting Mercy and me here. And so as we start, let's bow our heads for another word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that as we share, that your spirit would be poured out here. Lord, every moment that we share, it just takes a little bit. You can work a miracle in seconds, Father. And so, Lord, I just ask that your spirit would be here in a powerful way to change our lives. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it is, since I began working here, I moved here in 2011, and I had been in practice close to 10 years in Southern California as an ophthalmologist. And it was during that time in Southern California that I had attended some lifestyle programs. I grew up a Seventh-day Adventist girl reading the books by Ellen White. How many of you grew up reading those books by Ellen White? And I thought, when I do medicine, I'm going to learn about this way of healing people. And I was really surprised, you know, that in medicine, even our Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters in medicine, many of them don't know about the principles in the writings of Mrs. White or even the Bible. I was once having a discussion with a conference leader. He was a president of a conference, and he said, you know, the only reason that you're interested in these remedies is because of the writings of Mrs. White. And I thought, you know, this leader does not understand that the principles that Mrs. White wrote were written in the Bible. Amen? Amen? When Jesus was on this earth, he could have healed using drugs. Do you think that there were drugs available in Jesus' time? Drugs were available from antiquity. Ever since sin came into this world, there was another way of healing. Amen? And Jesus could have chosen to explore this world of science and give to the world a wonderful medicine. Don't you think he could have done that? But Jesus chose to heal using the natural ways of the Lord and to show people how they were designed to live. Now, today, the Bible verse that we shared was from John chapter 1, verse 12. And I usually share this verse. It's such a powerful verse. I usually share this verse in the context of living a life of victory. And usually when I share on Sabbath, I share about the power of the gospel to give you victory over addiction. Addiction to sin and a dysfunctional way of thinking. How many of you know how to do better and yet can't do it? Yes? See, God wants to give us power to live. And that power comes from knowing the love of Jesus. Amen? But today I thought, here at Stone Tower, where in many ways God allowed me to start this ministry, I thought I would share a little bit about my journey in the power of God to heal even physical maladies. And sometimes we look at that kind of healing as most powerful. As I share, I just want you to know that all healing brings restoration. Restoration of the image of God in us, and it has to start from the inside out. Amen? So, for those of you who don't know, we do have a training program for people who want to learn about God's ways of healing. We call it MedMissionary. It is at medmissionary.com, and it is an online course. We started this in 2021. So if you go to MedMissionary, we start our next course in September. It is based upon a cookbook that we published in 2017, I think it was, the Autoimmune Plant-Based Cookbook. And, you know, it has been a blessing to do this work. I share with you just briefly, this is one of the ladies who took the course and also did some coaching with Mercy. She was 65 years old last year when she started the course and started doing this. She was 5'6" and weighed 192 pounds and had a history of high blood pressure. Now, 132 over 90, is that high? Not terribly high, but she was on some blood pressure medicines, and one of her biggest problems was that she had a lot of swelling in her legs. So I'm showing here, you can see that her foot here has an indentation from a sandal that she was wearing because her leg was so swollen. She had heart rhythm abnormalities. She had one called atrial fibrillation. It's when your heart just does this, you know? And she had high cholesterol, hypertensive heart disease. She had asthma, fibromyalgia, type 2 diabetes, Hashimoto's, osteoporosis, Barrett's esophagitis. She had amyloidosis, stage 3 kidney disease. She also suffered from insomnia, migraines. She had a history of thyroid cancer. She had a stroke in 2004. She had nodules in her lungs. And she had had a car accident in 2016 where she had broken a number of things, and she was in so much pain she needed to be on a powerful pain medicine every day. She also had chest pain, abdominal pain, heartburn, bloating, nausea, constipation, chills. And she also was on a CPAP machine because she stopped breathing every night when she would sleep. It's called sleep apnea. She had pain in her spine. She had nerve pain from this. She had leg cramps. Her heart rate was always really high. It was over 100. And again, you can see another picture of the swelling that she had in her legs. How many of you have suffered with health conditions? Yeah. You know, it's very discouraging when you get into health conditions, isn't it? You know, I used to, every time I'd go to the doctor, I'd have perfect labs. And I remember the first time I started having abnormal labs. Does that make you concerned when you have abnormal labs? Yes. Every time I would get a new lab that was abnormal, oh, that day I would feel a little bit down, and I'd think, what's going to happen to me? Amen? And it is in these moments that we have to trust in the Lord and practice that faith in God. This lady was really struggling. She was struggling with her emotions as well. She took the course and she started this health journey. And when she started this health journey, do you think she was happy? Not necessarily. Some of you, when you find out you have a health problem and you need to make a few changes, are you happy about making those changes? Sometimes when we share with people about what's happening in agriculture, what they're doing to the food, did you know that they're really changing the food nowadays? Even the healthy food, they're putting things into. Did you know that they, when they store apples, that they spray something on them and those apples can last for years? Isn't that amazing? Even organic apples. And nowadays, you know, they're getting everybody to eat vegan. They want you to eat, though, insects. It's very interesting. What the world is saying is safe and effective and okay to do. So a lot of people, when we start talking to them about health, they have some emotional reactions. Some people feel angry. They feel angry at me just for telling them, hey, you know, if you eat this way, you might improve your health. You know what they say to me? They say, you're too much. They're like, you know, not everybody can afford to eat this way. It must be nice to have a lot of money to eat this way. That you can eat organic. That you can do this and that you can soak and sprout. You must have a lot of time. You apparently don't know my family. You must have a supportive family. You obviously don't know my wife. You see, there's always a reason that we all have why we cannot move forward in obedience to the conviction that the Holy Spirit puts upon our heart. So I would just ask us, as you're listening to me, as you're listening to Mercy, if you hear something that causes you to react with an emotional response like anger or resentment, don't shoot the messenger, okay? I'm just the messenger. You know, pray about it and ask the Lord, Lord, did you bring me here today to hear this? Is this something that is truth or not? What would you have me to do with this information? Okay? That's how I started on this journey. I decided that I wasn't going to make my own decisions. I was going to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do with this information? And then I'm going to try to move forward and see what Jesus does for me. Amen? Okay. So this lady started moving forward. She started the course. She did some coaching with Mercy. She started soaking and sprouting her foods. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have a class on how to soak and sprout. She started getting different food products into her diet instead of the foods that were causing her to have so much inflammation. And she started the course, listening to the devotionals, started changing the way she thought about God and herself. Guess what? She started making changes. And at her last communication in September, her heart rate was down to 78 from being over 100. Her weight was down from 192 to 165. She no longer needed her CPAP machine. She no longer was on her asthma medications. She no longer had the abdominal pain, bloating, nausea, and heartburn. She was off of four of her four medications for diabetes. And you can see she no longer had the swelling in her legs. Isn't that amazing? So it was very wonderful to hear about her story. And we have heard amazing stories of people with kidney failure, all these types of things, seeing drastic and dramatic improvement in their health, but most importantly, having an improvement in their walk with God. Amen. And so this is what we are very happy about as we do this work. Now, you know, how many of you believe that we are living in the time before Jesus comes, like right before Jesus comes? Amen? Amen. And we are told that before Jesus comes, is everyone going to be healthy? Oh, this world is going to be a very difficult place to be. We are told that in time of trouble, there will be sick ones, plenty of them, that will need help. so because of the need, but also for their own sake, they should. She's talking about us. We're talking about members in the church. We should, for our own sake, while we have opportunity, become intelligent in regard to disease, its causes, prevention, and cure. And those who will do this will find a field of labor anywhere. How many of you are wondering, what am I going to do for work? You know, if the spirit of prophecy says that if we will learn about this problem and how to be a problem solver, that we will find work. Soon there will be no work done in ministerial lines except in medical missionary work. Brothers and sisters, do you want to be able to do work for Jesus until the end of time? Then we should all be learning how to do medical missionary work. Now, it's amazing. This Spanish flu, I never learned about this until I was out of medicine. I am ashamed to say this. But just in case there are other people who have not heard of the Spanish flu, I'm going to share with you a little bit about it. The Spanish flu happened in 1918. It lasted from January of 1918 to December of 1920. So for a period of 3 years, the world was suffering. We went through a period of time when we were really wondering about a pandemic, weren't we? Yeah, it lasted for about that same amount of time. Isn't that interesting? Anyways, around 27% of the world's population was infected. 10 to 20% of those who got infected died. And between 50 to 130 million, that's a big spread, but it just goes to show they don't know how many people died exactly, but it was a lot of people who died, 3 to 6% of the world population. In the United States alone, anywhere from 500,000 to 675,000 people died. The Wikipedia says that this pandemic has been described as the greatest medical holocaust in history and may have killed more people than the Black Death. It is said that this flu killed more people in 24 weeks than AIDS has killed in 24 years, more in a year than Black Death killed in a century. And it was so bad that they had to convert large buildings, large warehouses into makeshift hospitals because there just was not enough room at the hospital to take care of people. This was such a devastating disease that it just destroyed entire communities. There were so many people that were dying, and because there was a war that was happening at the same time, there were not enough healthcare workers, especially here in the United States. There were actually medical students and residents who were left behind to take care of people here in the United States, while many of the doctors had to go overseas for the war. And because so many people were dying, there were not enough grave diggers who were able to bury the dead. Now, I can't tell you for sure, but I remember one lady telling me that her mother told her that they were in their country, that some people, when they would get the Spanish flu, people were so scared, they would bury them alive. Now, some of you may think, oh, that's terrible. We would never do anything like that. But you remember how crazy things were during COVID, how scared people were. People were wishing death upon other people. And so, as we went through this, I could see how some of these things could be played out again. Entire villages in Alaska were wiped out. 20% of Western Samoa died in 2 months. This was a terrible, terrible thing that happened. And in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have many, many encouraging stories of institutions, schools, seminaries, lifestyle centers that used hydrotherapy and natural remedies to save many people. Our schools and our sanitariums had a very low mortality rate. Probably just a handful of people died amongst all of the students and the patients at these lifestyle centers. It's an amazing thing. When I learned about this, and I learned about what our Seventh-day Adventist people are doing, it was just a couple years after I had finished my medical schooling, and after, actually, I was in practice. Now, I had learned about natural remedies prior to going to medical school. How many of you are doing natural remedies yourself? How many of you don't know how to do natural remedies and would like to learn? Very good, very good. Praise the Lord. Now, I learned about doing natural remedies. I remember when I was a little girl and I'd get sick, my mother was doing hot and cold fomentations to me. And, you know, when I would have pain, she would know just where to put her hands. And she learned a lot of this stuff in nursing school in Korea at a Seventh-day Adventist hospital where they taught the nurses how to do this type of thing. Now, I find it very interesting that when I started being the health ministry director here at Stone Tower, and I was teaching about natural remedies and lifestyle and this kind of thing, people would say to me, "Joyce, you better be careful." And I thought, "Why do I have to be careful?" And they said, "Because you're working outside of your scope." That means, like, I'm an eye doctor, so I should stick to the eyes and not try to go outside of my scope, because otherwise I could get in trouble, right? I could lose my license or this kind of thing. Brothers and sisters, you know, during COVID, a lot of people were talking about the science and how we have to follow the science and how we should look to the scientists and doctors who had so much education. But did you know that the spirit of prophecy tells us that we should educate our families to know how to take care of their health so that when they get sick, they would need to call a doctor no more frequently than they should need to go to a lawyer? How many of you have been to a lawyer? How many of you have gone your entire life without a lawyer? Now, I went to, I've gone to a number of countries. I recently went to a country in the South Pacific where they don't have a whole lot of resources there. They don't have a whole lot of doctors there. They don't have, you know, a lot of their bathrooms, they didn't have even soap in the bathroom. You know what I mean? It was just a very bare bones type of environment. And so I went to the school and I was talking to the students. And when I would do lectures, I would ask people and I'd ask them, "Hey, when you get sick, what do you do?" And this was amongst our own Seventh-day Adventist people. And I'm going to ask you the same question. When you get sick, what do you do? When you get a fever, what do you do? Now, the spirit of prophecy and the Bible, we learn certain principles how we're supposed to take care of ourselves. But most of the people that I talked with, they said, "When I get sick, I go to the hospital. When I get sick, when I get a fever, I reach for Tylenol." How many of you are reaching for Tylenol? Now, some of you might think, "What's wrong with Tylenol?" How many of you think, "What's wrong with Tylenol?" Yeah? Brothers and sisters, we are to do the best that we can do. So if in the case of a fever, the best that you can do is to take Tylenol, then that is what you must do. Amen? But we as Seventh-day Adventists who are seeking to do all things like Jesus and to heal like Jesus, we want to teach people how to work with their bodies to get better, right? How to work according to the laws of health. The spirit of prophecy tells us that God will bless us as we try to seek methods of healing that are altogether different than the world. Amen? And so we teach people how to get better with a fever using natural remedies like water, like herbs, and this type of thing. Amen? And so, you know, during a Spanish flu, there were many groups of people that were able to help. There were some Seventh-day Adventists who knew these remedies, but there were some Seventh-day Adventists who were so scared of what was happening, they would not go to help their brothers and sisters. And One of our doctors said this: "What shall Seventh-day Adventists do to be ready for such experiences? We have known from Bible teachings for many years that such times were coming. How many of you believe that there is a time coming when people are getting sick? For we have been told over and over again to prepare for these experiences by well-ordered lives and by securing such a preparation for service as would enable all our people." Is it some of our people? All of our people to minister to the sick and distressed in such a time. Amen. During this epidemic, every Seventh-day Adventist has had 10 times as many opportunities for service as he could fill if he had been ready for them. What a chance for missionary endeavor and for practicing that pure religion and undefiled of which James speaks. Some, however, have been so fearful of contracting the disease that they have refrained from offering assistance to the distressed until the disease actually invaded their own families, while others have exceeded their strength in ministry to the sick. Brothers and sisters, we are going into a time where many people are going to be sick, and God will have opportunity to use those of you who are preparing for that time. Amen. How many of you want to get ready for that time? Amen. Now, what I did not know, you know, like I went through medical school, I did my residency, and I was practicing as an ophthalmologist. And there was something in my heart, though, that was like, there's something missing. And I would go to these lifestyle programs, and then I'd come back to my patients, and I would try to teach them some of the things that I had learned. I was dealing a lot with glaucoma patients, and glaucoma is a progressive chronic disease, right? And so it's a disease that attacks the optic nerve of the eye. And so people lose their vision because their nerve starts dying. And so I thought, you know, I can help these people with the drugs that I know and with using these natural remedies and changing their diet and their lifestyle. Do you think people were happy to learn these things? Some people were. Some people made changes. But the reason that I started doing more of this outside of medicine was because I realized that medicine is not set up for health education. Medicine is set up for drug therapy, because that's the way that it was set up by basically John Rockefeller and the pharmaceutical industry. Right? And so you have to understand that when you go to your doctor and you're like, why is my doctor not interested in talking to me and explaining these things? It's because it's simply not set up that way. That's just the reality of it. And it's not to say anything negative necessarily. I'm just telling you the reality of medicine today. And so we have to find our own way. I was very interested in helping people to understand there's a totally different way of healing. It's not within medicine. It is outside of medicine as we know it. It is God's way of healing. And so God's ways are powerful. Luke chapter 8, where he throws out the demoniacs. How many of you believe that spiritual and satanic possession and oppression are involved in many of our issues? Amen? 9 out of 10 disease starts in the mind. Amen? And so we have to deal with a lot of these things. Even as I visit many of our churches, many of our faithful Seventh-day Adventist members don't know how to show love to each other. Many of our Seventh-day Adventist members, we are struggling to know how to communicate love even to our families. And what does Jesus look like? We don't know, because we weren't shown a clear picture of who Jesus was, even by our family. And we're having to learn this now in adulthood. And it's very hard. So this is something that we have to remember. When you're looking at the health message, it is all about Jesus. Amen? It is all about the love of Jesus. Now, God's ways are also humble. 2 Kings chapter 5 and simple. Do you know what's in 2 Kings chapter 5? It's the story of Naaman. I'm going to get into the story of Naaman. But God's ways are usually so humble and simple, the world rejects them. How many of you, when someone has said, hey, you know, why don't you try this onion poultice? Like, how many of you, like, I've had so many people, they're like struggling with a cough for a month. And I say, hey, try an onion poultice. They say, I hate the smell of onion. And it's simply too much trouble. And even if I were to go through the trouble of like trying to chop up an onion for them, going to their house and putting it on their chest, they just don't want it. They would rather have something that was, you know, paid for, multi-million dollar research and development, and you have a real nice looking drug rep come to your door, and you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of technology involved. God's ways are usually too humble and simple. God's ways are accessible to all. He wants for all of us to be healthy. Do you think that good health is promised only to those who are wealthy? No, I don't believe that either. Now, it does not mean that it's easy to do. You know, I was learning a new way to do surgery, and it was very, very elegant, this way of doing surgery. It was very, very simple, but it was very hard to learn. And the surgeon who came up with this way of doing it, he said, yes, this is a very simple and elegant surgery, but simple does not mean easy. Some of us think that because it's simple, it should be easy. And we have to disabuse our minds of that, okay? They're also safe. Proverbs 10:22. I really love this verse. Proverbs 10:22. It says this, that the blessings of God, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. You know, if you look at a drug, any drug is going to leave some kind of side effect, right? Side effect. And you are going to end up having some tolerance, dependence, side effects. Pretty soon you'll need another medication for that side effect, right? And but God's ways are safe. They make use of the things of nature, and they reveal the character of God. These are the reasons for why we want to use God's ways of doing it. Number one most important thing, we want to reveal the character of God to the world. Amen? So this quote says that if we neglect, however, to do that which is within the reach of nearly every family and ask the Lord to relieve pain, when we are too indolent, indolent means basically lazy, to make use of these remedies within our power, it is simply presumption. The Lord has given some simple herbs of the field that at times are beneficial, and if every family were educated in how to use these herbs in case of sickness, much suffering might be prevented and no doctor need be called. I remember after I learned about what happened in the Spanish flu and how powerfully God had used these remedies to heal people and to bring them back to life from the brink of death, I thought, this is amazing. Because I'm sure that as we grow closer to the end of time, there will be more pandemics. And how are we to prepare God's people? You know, during this time that I went to learn about this, this is when I had, you know, started learning about drug resistance. You're familiar with drug resistance, right? That's when you take these antibiotics and maybe you take them too much, and now these drugs no longer are responding to these antibiotics. And now you have infections that people are worried about. What do we do about these superbugs? Actually, when COVID happened, one of my friends said, he said, you know, Joyce, maybe it's just a case of worse and worse bugs, and so we need more and more powerful drugs. You know, brothers and sisters, there is so much of evolution that is coming into our thinking. to think that things are evolving in such a way that they're getting more and more powerful. To think that humans are getting better and better. This is evolutionary thinking. And to think that for us, we can have faith in the Word of God to a certain point, but when it gets bad enough, then it's, we have to do this. I do believe that most of us, myself included, we don't know how to do things necessarily without drugs. If I do cataract surgery, I don't know how to do cataract surgery and not use eye drops with steroids and antibiotics and this kind of thing. But it is of the Lord's will that we are working to do our best to minimize that as much as we can. And some of us have more faith as to what is possible than others. The Lord has provided antidotes for disease and simple plants, and these can be used by faith with no denial of faith. For by using the blessings provided by God for our benefit, we are cooperating with Him. We can use water and sunshine and the herbs which He has caused to grow for healing maladies brought on by indiscretion or accident. I remember when I was first starting to learn about these things, I thought, when I go home, I am going to help people to learn about natural remedies. And I didn't know how to go about it because I thought, you know, if I just, you know, learn, teach people about hydrotherapy, who knows what will happen? Maybe I'll just find people who are failing antibiotic therapy. That would be a safe place, right? Because they've already tried antibiotics and they're failing that, so maybe they'd be interested in this. And the Lord brought into my life people who were failing antibiotics. What happened was, for instance, I was at work doing surgery, and one of our scrub techs, she had to go home. She looked really worried. Her name is Gina. And I asked her, Gina, what's going on? She said, oh, my son, he's had a fever for like a week. And now we did an x-ray, found out it's a pneumonia and it's not responding to antibiotics. And so I said, Gina, you know what you have to do is you have to do hot and cold fomentations. But in 5 minutes, I can't really teach you how to do that so easily. So why don't you have your son do a hot and cold shower? You can get into hot water for 3 minutes, cold for 30 seconds, hot water for 3 minutes, cold for 30 seconds. Okay, those of you who know, how many cycles do we do? 3 cycles of hot and cold, and what do you end on? Cold. You always end on cold. Very good, very good. So I told her to do this, and she said, well, I don't know if he'll do this. He's a teenage boy, but I'll go home and see. Now, I was kind of surprised, because I thought that I thought kids just do what their parents tell them to do. Because I didn't know, I thought so. So you parents, you better teach your kids to obey, because it might literally save their lives, amen? So she went home and she told this boy, she said, there's this doctor at work and she said to take this hot and cold shower and it might help you. And guess what? He said, I'll give it a try. So I asked her, like I saw her the next week, I said, Gina, what happened to your boy? She said, oh, he decided to do the shower. He did the hot and cold. He got back into bed and he said, I think I feel a little better. And then he woke up in the morning and his temperature was normal. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Do you think that I had more faith and courage to keep on going? Yes. And so then I had a classmate. I was taking my master's in public health, and he was helping me with a class, and his name was Mike. I was like, Mike, you look a little tired and depressed. And he said, well, I've had this walking pneumonia for about a month. I can't get rid of it. And I said, well, Mike, I said, you've got to try this hot and cold shower. And so he's like, okay. So he goes home, and the next time I see him, he's like, it really didn't work. I said, can you describe and tell me what you did? And he told me I did the hot and cold, but guess what? He ended on the hot. Is that good? No, that's not a hot and cold as we know it. So I told him, this is how you have to do it. And he went home and he did the hot and cold shower, and guess what? He got better. He hugged me the next time that he saw me, and I was very happy. At work there was a lady who had been hospitalized because she had MRSA. Do you know what MRSA cellulitis is? MRSA is methicillin-resistant staph aureus. It's a type of infection that is resistant to many antibiotics. And so she was hospitalized, and she had this infection in her leg. And I gave her, what do you think I gave her? Charcoal poultice. If you guessed charcoal poultice, you are correct. But you should still come back this afternoon for our natural remedies program. In the flyer, it's listed as natural resources, but that was me making a typo, probably later at night. And so it's not natural resources. It's not environmental health. It is going to be natural remedies this afternoon, okay? So I gave her a charcoal poultice, and that helped her. And so then when I moved here to Washington State, I started working at a company. And at this company, I was considered somewhat of an unusual person because of my food. Yeah, people would ask me, what do you have? Is that kale? What is kale? You know, ooh, it tastes very earthy. Mm. And there was one lady who had a young daughter. She was 4 years old. This was a single mother who had a four-year-old daughter. And she was coming into work every day with circles under her eyes for the last 2 weeks. And I asked her, I said, Kim, like, what's going on? She said, oh, my daughter's been waking up every night in the middle of the night with high fever. And so I said, Kim, do you know where disease starts? Everybody, where does disease start? Some people say disease starts in the mind. 9 out of 10 times, disease starts in the mind. But also we know that where is most of your immune system? In the gut, right? 70% of your immune system is in the gut. I said, Kim, we have to, you know, keep track of your daughter's immune system and how her gut is behaving. Is she having bowel movements? Is she drinking enough water? All these kinds of things. And finally, she had been to the doctor. She was already on an antibiotic. So this qualifies as something I would help, right? The already failed antibiotic. I said, Kim, not that I wouldn't help somebody who wasn't already on an antibiotic, but anyways, I said, Kim, I will come to your house. Most people don't want me to come to their house. It's amazing, you know? But I said, I'll come to your house and I will help you. And she had just woken up, her daughter had woken up the night before with a temperature of 101, and she was having pain. And so Kim said, okay, please come. So that night after doing surgery, I went to her house. Now, I work in Tualatin sometime. I live up in Vancouver, so it takes a while to get home, right? Through this traffic. So by the time I got home, got all my stuff together, what kind of stuff would you bring if you were going to someone's house to help them? I brought charcoal. I brought towel. I brought Glad wrap. I brought, because I was thinking to do a poultice. I was going to do hot and cold. I was going to do, and then I made her a drink with charcoal and this kind of thing. So I got to her house late. It was summertime, so it was still light. But I gave her the drink. I put some ginger, rosemary, and charcoal, and I mixed it up with some honey and lemon. And it tasted pretty yummy. So her daughter liked it. She drank it down. It's very important that you teach your kids to obey you, right? Her daughter could have been like, that black stuff, I'm not going to drink that, you know? But her daughter drank that, no problem. And then we left a charcoal poultice. Her mom wrapped it around her tummy because I couldn't do the hot and cold because she fell asleep. But why would I do a charcoal poultice to the tummy? Because that's where That's where disease starts a lot of times, is in the digestive system, right? And so I didn't know what else to do. I was really praying about this. You know, as I was driving to this house, Kim's house, and I was going to do this stuff. How do you think I felt? How would you feel driving to someone's house to help them? Excited? Anxious? Yeah, it was a bit of everything. Because, like, you know, when you see people who are struggling, you want to help people, right? But at the same time, how many of you have not helped people because you're like, what if it doesn't work? How many of you have not said something because you're like, they might not listen to me? Yes, that's... So I was like, Lord, on the way to her house, I actually was having a real nice heart-to-heart with the Lord. I said, Lord, I just moved here. Everybody in the office talks. How many of you work at a place where everybody talks? It's like you do something and everybody knows about it, right? We're a close family. We all like to talk about each other, right? That's normal. It's human. And so I said, if I go to her house and I do all this stuff and she still has a fever, Lord, you know they're going to make fun of me. They're going to be like, you know, Dr. Joyce came to your house. What'd she do? Oh, she did this charcoal drink. She did... And it didn't work. Nothing helped. I was like, Lord, they're going to make fun of me. But I said, Lord, I am going because you told us that we are supposed to help other people using these remedies. And I said, I am just going to go be obedient. But I didn't say it calmly like this. I was crying ugly tears. I was like, Lord. You know, I really enjoy... How many of you have had ugly crying with the Lord? Yes, those are some of the best prayers because I feel like they're real, like they're really in your heart. And you're just like, Lord, I give you everything. This is such a joy to be on this experience. I'm going to go out on a limb and practice faith. Amen? Some of you are going to come to some of our classes and maybe learn some things you've never learned before, maybe decide to do some things you've never done before. And maybe some of you are going to go out on a limb and say, Lord, I'm going to change my way of thinking. God is going to bless you. God is going to bless you when you do these things and you go out on faith. Amen? So I went to Kim's house. We did all these things. And the next morning, she didn't call me. And it took 2 days, she didn't call me. So I finally called her. I said, hey, Kim, what's going on? How's your daughter? She's like, oh. She said, yeah, she had no fever. So we felt really good. We went to the fair. You know, so praise the Lord. God, you know, the way that God has worked doing these things and the missionary work, it has been such a blessing for my walk with Jesus. And so as you are doing these things, it's not simply for other people's benefit, it's because you are learning to obey and hear God's voice. Amen? It says this, our people should become intelligent in the treatment of sickness without the aid of poisonous drugs. Many should seek to obtain the education that will enable them to combat disease in its various forms by the most simple methods. Thousands have gone down to the grave because of the use of poisonous drugs who might have been restored to health by simple methods of treatment. Now, do you think that Ellen White is simply referring to the drugs that were available in her time? Do you think that the drugs today work the same way? Brothers and sisters, as I said, many of us, myself included, we don't know how to get people better without drugs. Many of us. But this does not mean that God's word has failed. It means that he is looking for people who will have the courage to move forward and to try to find those ways that he is going to bless. Amen? So he says, let diligent study be united with careful treatments. Let prayers of faith be offered by the bedside of the sick. Let the sick be encouraged to claim the promises of God for themselves. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's getting late, so I will close here pretty soon. But before I close, I just want to share with you. You know the story of Naaman? And there's so many lessons from these stories. The story of Naaman I find very, very interesting because it not only talks about how these remedies are used, you know, Elisha instructed Naaman to go to the Jordan River and to use hydrotherapy to heal, right? Water therapy. The reason that Naaman did not want to do this was what? He said, the water in the Jordan, we had much better rivers in Syria. Why should we do this? The reason he did not want to obey, is because of pride. Brothers and sisters, you know, there is a story in the book of Mark. Let's go to Luke. It's also in Luke. Luke chapter 5. Do you know the story of the paralytic? And it says that in verse 17, it says that it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And then you know what it says here that's very sobering? It says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Oh, brothers and sisters, I include myself in this. There is so much that the Lord wants to heal us from. But most of us are content to be scribes and Pharisees and doctors of the law who sit around in this house, crowding up the house of the Lord so that the people who need to get to Jesus cannot find him, except that they go through a hole in a roof that their friends make for them. How many of us are obstructing the way to Jesus because of the coldness of our hearts, because of our unbelief, because of our lack of love, because we have been exposed to so much truth and yet are not going to act upon it? Today, as we close, I ask, brothers and sisters, you know, God promises us that we can become children of God. And to become a child of God, we have to have implicit faith in the Word of God. Jesus is coming so soon. And many of us have things in our lives that we still hold on to. Doubt, skepticism, pride, lack of forgiveness, all of these things cause us not to be able to see Jesus clearly, and therefore the world is not going to be able to see him. And so today, as we close, as we think about the stories, as we think about the power of God, as we think about what it is that God wants us to do, is it something as simple as, you know, just trying an onion poultice or hydrotherapy or this kind of thing? Is it, what is it that you have been fighting the Lord on? What is it in your life that the Lord has been telling you, this is not good for you? Why don't you get rid of this? What is it that you know is in your heart that you still have not overcome and given to Jesus? You know, this message of health is not just about natural remedies, brothers and sisters. It is all going to be about finding that power through a connection with God. And so today, as we move forward, I just pray. I pray that as you are moving forward in your walk with God, as you're moving forward in your health journey with God, as you're moving forward in your walk to be restored, today, ask the Lord, Lord, just take everything. I trust in you. Take everything, Lord. Help me to see Jesus. Help me to have the power of Jesus in my life. Lord, help me to be truly converted. Help me to prepare for this time of the end. Help me to be a light in this community and in this church. And it's going to come with faith. It's going to come with humility. It's going to come with power. And that power of God. Let's pray as we close, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, my words are so weak. And Lord, there's so many things that I want to share with this church where I started. There's so many things and I can't. I can only share a few things. This is the place, Lord, where you really revealed yourself to me by healing so many people. This is where you revealed yourself to me by helping me to heal of my own heart pain and these types of things. And Lord, I come back here, it's about 10, 12 years later, and I know there are still people here who are struggling. I know that there are still people here who are suffering, who are still wanting a closer walk with Jesus. Lord, today, I pray that each one here, that they would have courage to let go whatever it is that has caused them to stay in this rut, to let go whatever it is that has caused them not to be able to move forward. Lord, that as they've heard these stories, that they would have courage to move forward in their walk with Jesus, to know that you can give power not only to heal of our physical maladies, but to heal our hearts of the pain and sadness that we've held on to. Lord, I thank you so much. I pray today would be the first day in the chapter of a new life for anybody here who is willing to move forward with Jesus. And I thank you so much for hearing and answering. Please be with us as we have our fellowship and as we eat together and as we continue to meet together today and tomorrow. And may everything we do glorify Jesus. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.